good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now, and that's because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then we have our friends at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And it is such a privilege to be able to come together and work together so that we can come and sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And as you know, I see all of Scripture as various portraits of God. It's our way to get to know His heart and His ways. And so we're in a series now, if you've been with us for this particular month, on how He is our deeper dive. Oh, my friend, no matter how deep your valley is, the Lord is deeper still. He's our deeper dive. And to switch metaphors to the sea, oh, we dive into the depths of the sea to discover the mysteries of God in more and more powerful ways. Now, in this particular series of looking at the Lord as our deeper dive, we're also seeing that this can be expressed as five different levels or layers or depths of His interaction with us, His relationship with us, and intimacy with us. And it's progressive. And we've done the first three. We're going to cover number four, and then next week, number five, which are the mysterious ones, the deeper ones. So I'm really excited to share this with you. But as we get started, let me just invite you to make your way over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, as we get started today with number four of the five additional portraits of God about how He is our deeper dive. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website. That would be Mark, that's with a K, by the way, markpg.org. That's markpg.org. Not only will you find these 27-minute radio broadcasts, you'll also can click on a gray box next to the broadcast box. It says videos, and you can find 3-minute videos, devotionals on portraits of God. There's another gray box you can click that has articles that I've written about helping you know the ways of God. And then there's another box you can click on that has printed guides and outlines on character qualities from the Scriptures, but also the hot topics of Scripture. All of them designed to do one thing: help you hear God. So check it out, markpg.org. Excuse me. Wow. Got a little excited about that website. Sorry about that. So, hey, as is our custom, though, now is the time to go before the Lord, as been our custom over the years, just to ask Him to speak. Shall we? Well, Lord, we're just so grateful for the privilege we have to come to sit at Your feet. You love speaking to us, Lord. We listen for Your whispers, Lord. And we know life can get so noisy externally with so many responsibilities and events and things that happen, and also internally our reactions to all those things, that we can miss Your whispers. So help us to be still and know that You're a God and hear Your whispers. And today, as we get ready to discover one of the most mysterious and deepest ways in which You are engaging with us, I pray that You'll open our eyes and let us see Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, just a 90-second overview of where we've been, my friends. So we're talking about how the Lord is indeed our deeper dive, and how when we first get saved, we experience the Lord as our merciful Savior. That's number one if you're a note taker. He is our merciful Savior. That's level one of the deep dive, because we are downcast sheep, upside down sheep that are going to die unless a merciful Savior comes along and puts us right side up. Bible also says that we're blinded by the god of this world and held captive in the snare of the devil. And so the Lord wants to open our eyes to see and set us free from being in captivity with the enemy, And so we explored that at length. So go to the website to see how the Lord is our merciful Savior, and that we're to rejoice in our salvation, but our relationship can go deeper than that. And number two is that He is our gentle teacher. The first part we picked up in Matthew 9 about being our merciful Savior. In Mark 10, we see how we are His children. The disciples were bringing children to them, and or others were, and the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, wait, no, allow the children to come to me. Don't forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. He is our gentle teacher. He's the one who gently teaches us the milk of the word. And then as we get older, the meat of the word. He is our rabbi, but He treats us with the tenderness and the care and the trust of children and for children. So that's why I call Him our gentle teacher. Oh, we really went deep as we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The third way that we deepen our journey in the Lord as we swim into deeper depths is how He is our gracious master. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:24 that we are His bondservants, and those would be voluntary bondservants, and He's the ruler, He's the master, but not a taskmaster. And we talked about how He's one who gently corrects us and works with us and all. He's our gracious master, where we want to be His servant, not have to be His servant. Now, let's just really put it on the table now. I have discovered in my over 40 years of ministry and in my own life, I tend to get stuck at these three levels. I tend to swim around at these three depths, and that's it. And if you get stuck in the gracious master level, though He's a gracious master, and we see ourselves as just doing our duties and stuff, we are missing on a deeper dimension that the Lord wants us to experience in Him. And here it is, number four, how He is our not just merciful Savior, not just our gentle teacher, not just our gracious master, but He is our loving bridegroom. He is our loving bridegroom. This is going to be deeper. This is going to be a little more mysterious, a little tougher, especially for guys to maybe hang on to. So that's why I'm really excited about unpacking this for us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and following. It says this, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now let me stop there a moment. This is the last part of a whole section there in Ephesians talking about the relationship between a husband and wife here on earth. And this particular verse that I just read is actually, as you know, from Genesis. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." I mean, that is classic. And Paul here is resurrecting it in his letter to the Ephesians. But then in verse 32, he says this mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Whoa, did you catch this? He goes through this discourse about the relationship between a husband and wife. He reminds us of the classic portion of scripture that sets the foundation for marriage. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh," he says. And by the way, let me add this, I'm also speaking about Christ and the church. Yes, it's all true for our earthly marriage, our earthly covenant of marriage, but it is also true that this metaphor is very apropos for describing our relationship to Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. We are the church. He is our loving bridegroom. We are His beloved bride. Whether you're male or female, let's not get caught up on the gender thing. The principles are what important here. So, this mystery is great, but one of the deepest expressions of our covenant relationship with Christ is this illustration of the covenant of marriage. And by the way, this is the only covenant we have left in our culture. Everything else is contracts, and that's very different. A contract at the business level or real estate level or something, It's based on distrust. We need to have it in writing. We need to have lawyers look at it. We have notary seals because I don't trust you. We need to have this down so we can make sure all the provisions that are listed here that we negotiated about. By the way, it's another thing about a contract. They're negotiable. They're bilateral. You discuss it and you come up with an agreement, and then but it's based on distrust. But a covenant is based on absolute trust. It's when a husband and wife on their wedding day are essentially saying, everything I have, all that I am, I give to you. I'm holding nothing back. See, that's based on utter trust. It's unlimited. But a contract's very limited, and it's based on distrust. Now, by the way, I'm not saying don't use contracts. I'm saying absolutely use contracts out there in the world and in business and in real estate because, you know, all of us, we're blinded by the god of this world. We have sin issues. We're selfish and all. You need to protect yourself. So I'm not speaking against contracts. But what I am saying is a covenant is far deeper than a contract. It is the only covenant left in our culture, as I mentioned a moment ago. And it's for the husband and wife relationship. That's why, you know, the prenuptial agreement or contract kind of sets you up to divorce later because it's conditional. You know, now, there are extenuating circumstances. I get that, where it's wise, especially if it's second marriages and you have children by former marriages. I get that, you know. But I just want you to grab the spirit of this. Jesus is saying that a covenant, and by the way, when you open up your Old Testament or New Testament, that word testament is the Latin form of the word covenant. You could call it the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The New Covenant is Jesus saying, everything I have, all that I am, I give to you, which is eternal life and much, much more. It's our coming to him and saying, everything I have, all that I am, I give to you, which is a sinner, which is tons of baggage, which is big problems and big wounds, sin. And Jesus says, I'll take you anyway. You see, we're not the Cinderella in this love story with Prince Charming Jesus. We're the evil stepsisters, my friend. And yet he's willing to marry us and change us from the inside out. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us enough to die for us. And he transforms our lives. He loves us more than we can possibly imagine. Now, I will just be very honest with you. One of the greatest challenges in my life over the years has been receiving deep within my heart, as opposed to just my head, that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We can let that roll off our lips and lose the reality that, wait, he loves you. He loves you. No, even when you've sinned, even when you're in rebellion, even when you're a mess, even when you're a ragamuffin, he still loves you. It's unwavering. It is unconditional. So if you're note-taking, we're talking about how he is our loving bridegroom because we are his beloved bride. And this highlights for us his unconditional love versus earned love. Huge, huge difference. Unconditional love versus earned love. If we were to get real honest and look at our own lives, most of us grew up thinking we had to continually earn the love of others. Oh, don't act that way, honey. If you're dead, nobody's going to love you. Oh, you can't believe you did that. If you're dead, nobody's going to love you. Oh, that is so unlovable. Oh, and we just have to perform in order to earn love. We don't receive that even when we screw up, the love of the Lord does not lessen. The enemy may send a barrage of thoughts like, oh, look what you did here. Oh, look how you're thinking here. Look at your attitude there. Oh, God sees what you're thinking. God, no, man, I wouldn't be caught dead in his presence. You are in serious trouble. He's good. He knows it, boy. You've had it. It's not that way. When we are really struggling, the Lord is right there with us. We are his beloved bride. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And especially when we're struggling, especially when we've lost it, he is right there. Unconditional love. So let me kind of drill a little bit deeper. The reality is, hey, let me ask you a question. If, for those of you that are married, and then those who hope to be married, for those of you who are married, did you really have any idea of what marriage is going to be like? Or did you have the rom-com view, the happily ever after view, you know, that this is the love of my life, they're going to change me forever, we're good? You're entering a partnership, and you're bringing into this covenant partnership a oneness, but you're bringing to the marriage not all assets like Jesus brings when he comes to save us. We're bringing mostly liabilities, you know. We've got baggage we're bringing from our upbringing and from our family of origin and our hurtful experiences. We're broken people that are coming into these marriages. We've got wounds that are not healed yet. We have sin that we're not even aware of. Now, you couple that with your mate's baggage and brokenness and wounds and sin, and what do you have? You got double the problem, right? You're trying to become one, and you see all the good sides, all the positive sides for the most part while you're dating and all that other stuff. But once you get married and get into real life, then all the other stuff starts coming out. Unconditional love is the kind of love that says, that's okay. I'm broken too. We'll work on this together. We have a Savior who will heal us, who will guide us, who will love us. His unconditional love, to the degree you receive that for yourself, you are able to give it to others. Isn't that phenomenal? I tell you, it's like clockwork. You know, we all drift, yeah, and from time to time in our attitudes and our focus on the Lord and our intimacy with him. It's kind of like when we go out to the ocean and we're enjoying the beach, and then we go out and some inflatable not raft, what do you call it? An available couch. I can't find the word for the moment. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. A floaty of some kind. And we lie down and we're soaking in the sun. And maybe we drift off to sleep. And then after a few minutes, we wake up and somebody has moved our umbrella and towel and our coolers on down the beach. Well, is that what happened? No, we drifted. The current in our inattentiveness and just floating on there, it just took us out, away, further out. We drift. That happens. It's okay. The Lord is still with you. But he says, come on, let's come on back. His unconditional love is always there. Your feelings of love, your attitude toward your mate, or your sons, or your parents, or sometimes drifts. That's okay. We drift and we make huge mistakes. We get attitudes that just aren't of God. We drift. It's okay. Things happen to us. We get wounded and we don't do the right things to heal. And so the wounds get worse. They fester. That's okay. Unconditional love says, I am still with you. I will never leave you. We'll work on this together because I've got the same kinds of baggage and brokenness and wounds and sin as well. Isn't that beautiful? Man, if you haven't received the Lord's unconditional, ongoing love for you, I'm telling you, to the degree you swim to that depth as his beloved bride and know that he delights in you. Let me ask you a question. If I were to say, do you believe the Lord delights in you? Not all the time. Oh, well, sometimes I can be a real jerk. Yeah. You don't think he's delighting in you? He might not be delighting in what you're doing or what you're thinking, but he still delights in you. It's okay. And when you start receiving that in the Lord, it fills your heart, and then it's readily available to those who need unconditional love as well. But not just unconditional love, unbridled love versus guarded love. He has an unbridled, lavish love for you. Now, we have a guarded love. We kind of say, well, listen, if you earn it, I'll give it to you. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice back. If you're good to me, I'll be good back. We mistakenly say, if you're gracious to me, I'll be gracious back. But see, grace is undeserved, remember? Grace is undeserved love and kindness. It is when they've done something to hurt you, sinned against you, and yet you still love them. That's grace. That's the unbridled grace kind of love. Guarded love is held back. You got to earn it. You got to perform right. You got to do the things I want you to do. You got to change this or change that, and I'll love you more. Man, that's a trap. Unbridled love, even in the messes, is what brings us to a level of experience the Lord in each other at a depth that you cannot possibly imagine. There's a security, there's a peace, there's a rest in that kind of thing. Our problem is, though, performance-based acceptance, performance-based love is so built into our being, it is hard for us to escape it. And we find ourselves in our marriages or other relationships wanting to do the right thing. We're going to take the high ground, you know. We're going to do the things so we can't be, on the outside anyway, do the right things. Well, on the inside we might think it, but on the outside we're going to do the right things and do our duty, and we're keeping score. We're going to take the moral high ground in our view, while our mate or our kids or our bosses or whoever else now in our view is below us, because we're staking the high ground. And that is such a trap, my friend. Loyalty, commitment, steadfastness, longevity can be done either on a love-based basis because you want to, or duty-based because you have to. And if you're being loyal to your mate out of duty, and you're doing actions to stay on the moral high ground, but it's not from the heart, it's just duty-based because you want to cover your bases and not be called on the carpet. If you're using words that's just at a duty base and keeping your commitments because it's duty base, well, it's better than abdicating. It's better than running. So kudos at that level, but it's better than that. I'm glad you're still loyal and you're doing some good actions and you're speaking some good words and you have a good commitment. But if it's just duty based, that kind of gets you back up in that level three of kind of being a servant to the master, and we get resentful, like the prodigal son's brother. He was prodigaling as well. The younger brother was prodigaling on the outside where everybody could see, but the older brother stayed in duty. He was loyal and he did the right actions and he spoke the right words, but inside he was resentful and bitter and angry. We know that because when his brother did come back and the father threw a party for him, he resented it. I'm not coming. But when you do the same kinds of things, when you are loyal because you love that person, you're grateful for them, when your mercy is so strong when they're struggling or when they done something wrong, but rather than judge them, you're going to grant mercy and stuff. When it's a love-based loyalty, love-based actions, love-based word, love-based commitment, it makes all the difference in the world. And the Lord wants you to know that it's the same thing with Him. If you're kind of stuck back at the master-servant level and you forget the gracious part, you forget the loving part at level three, in level four, He's saying, wait, you're my beloved bride. I don't want you to obey because you have to. I want you to obey because you want to. I don't want you to please me because you have to. I want you to please me because you want to. It is the want to. It is the heart level. It is the love-based level where Christianity takes on a whole new Hugh, this mystery is great, but we're talking about Christ and the church. The greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Peter 4. Above all else, be fervent in your love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin and a multitude of performance and wounds and baggage and struggles and missteps. It's about love. You are the bride of Christ. And what kind of marriage is it if you're watching each other just looking for them to cross the line or do something wrong? All right, if you burn the toast, you're out of here. All right, if you do this, you're out of here. It's not like way. You believe the best. You practice widow's mite, baby steps of growth and healing and love. And you keep going and you keep going because you love this person. The two of you have become one. The two of you have a deeper love than just the romanticized versions you see on the rom-coms. Oh, my friend, savor the reality that the Lord is our loving bridegroom because we are His beloved bride. Well, Lord, we're just so grateful that You're that kind of God to us. And Lord, we never want to lose sight of that, and yet we confess that we do. So may we swim these deeper waters and savor that reality that You love us far more than we can possibly imagine, Lord. And because of that, we can absorb it and share it with others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, thank you for tuning in. And check out my website at markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with your loving bridegroom.